Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green and Rob Misch coming to you a little later than normal, mostly because that game took forever. And why did it take forever, Rob Misch?
David Hall. Why?
I sent you.
Why?
What's up?
What was that movie from? Why?
Oh no,
it was Nancy Kerrigan.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. That's what I thought of when I saw Dave Hall tonight, or got a certain text message way before the game. Oh, why? Before we even cut to that chase, though, we should probably say the most important thing is that hopefully Lou Hill is doing all right.
Yeah.
We were interviewing Kyle Spain right after the game, and we saw that the UNLV assistant coach was being wheeled from the arena on a stretcher. Trainer Dave Tomchek was at his side. Several other people right there. He looked. He was conscious. He had some oxygen being fed into his
nose,
and we don't know anything except he's been held overnight for observation at a local hospital, and further tests are being conducted, and as soon as we know something, you'll know something, but hopefully everybody can say some prayers for Coach Lou Hill, and he's doing all right, and it's nothing major.
Our prayers are certainly with him this evening. We are going to talk about UNLV falling at home 68-66 in overtime to San Diego State. Another one of those games where you couldn't get a very good feel for it because it just kept getting interrupted by a lot of tweets and whistles and hand signals for foul calls, and especially in the second half. In the end, 44 fouls called, 59 free throws taken. I don't even know. I can't even think of a way to describe what we watched tonight. It was just ugly.
I don't even want to. All I can say is the 59 free throws attempted were a high for a UNLV game this season. And as far as the 44 personals are concerned, only once this season were more fouls called in a game. That was 51 at Texas El Paso.
And who might have been officiating that game?
Dave Hall.
Well, let's go inside the box score a little bit.
To credit some of the players, though, Rougeau and some other guys, at least they were directly asked about the fouls, the sluggishness, the sloppy play. Probably, I should have looked this up, but it would have been too, maybe it wouldn't have been too tedious, but I bet you there was not 70 or 80 seconds of continuous unmitigated play in the second half because it was just stop. And like I was saying, to the players' credit, Rene Rougeau especially said, you know, that kind of stuff, you have to play through it.
Yeah, and they're obviously going to probably see it again when they play New Mexico on Saturday because that was the kind of game they had with them the first time. But that's looking ahead. Let's look at tonight. UNLV goes 19 of 56 from the floor. 33.9%, that is, only once this year have they shot worse than that, and that was against Cal back on November 28th when they were under 30%. You know, I guess is this, you know, you look at what San Diego State brought defensively. Wink Adams put it best. He said, you know, we have six-foot guys on the wings. They've got 6'4", 6'5". And San Diego State, we knew they were very long. We knew they jump all over the place, a very athletic team. Did you expect them to disrupt UNLV offensively, especially in the first half, the way they did?
No, because you know what? In the past, we haven't seen a San Diego State team, play such disciplined and sticky defense. That's what set this team apart. Usually, you can count on San Diego State to play not the smartest brand of basketball. You know, they could meet at 3 o'clock at Sunset Park, and you're going to get up and down the court, and it's going to be playground ball. But this was different, and Richie Williams told me that this was the best defense they've played all season. Not that it was close, but that there's no question this was the best defensive effort. And, you know, even Joe Darger's shot at the end of regulation, which could have won it for UNLV. Billy White coming out of nowhere to get a hand in his face, more than a hand in his face. Darger said, boy, you know, I had an open look, and then I didn't.
Yeah.
And that's why that ball winds up hitting the side of the backboard.
And Kyle Spain even said it after the game. He said, boy, if I had a 6'8", you know, guy out of nowhere flying at me, I'd get a little scared too.
That's right. Yeah.
And I don't know that Darger was necessarily scared, but boy, when we saw him get that look, you had to be thinking, wow, that could be going in. And the same went for Wink Adams' three-point look at the end of overtime. Kyle Spain, we talked about, took over in overtime, hit 2 3-pointers, a pair of free throws, scored 8 of San Diego State's 9 points in the extra frame, and it proved to be enough. Again, San Diego State wins 68-66, improves to 6-2 in the league, and for at least 24 hours will be alone atop the Mountain West standings at 6-2. UNLV drops to 5-3. This was a chance to maybe get the slightest bit of breathing room, but again, it's still a jumbled mess among those 5-6 teams at the top. And, you know, this is one of those games, we've talked about it before. We have a B word for it that we don't use necessarily on this family podcast, but this is one of those B word games that, you know, you don't know what UNLV is going to wind up taking from it, and this might be one of those ones they just want to put behind them.
I got a new nickname for you.
Uh-oh.
The Rambler.
I got it. Hey, you do it too. Why are you hating on me?
You took twists and turns there. Let's back it way up to San Diego State's defense.
Why you got to hate all the time? I know you're in a bad mood because, I mean, come on.
Because what?
Oh, never mind. Because you couldn't cheer for your alma mater on the sidelines.
No, that's BS. that's all you chicken hawk.
I have no idea
what you're even talking about. That's a figment of your own
imagination.
What's that?
Orange t-shirt under your...
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
Go for it.
Right. Are you done with romper room stuff?
Yeah.
Let's back up to San Diego State's defense. You knew that they would get in there and play tedious defense coming in because they led the league in three-point defense. Even speaking for me, I'm talking 3-point percentage defense. So this was a different San Diego State team. They don't just play fake mannequin defense. This team is getting out and hounding people on the perimeter, and that's what we saw tonight with Billy White. And a very interesting thing happened in practice Monday. None other than Coach Hill, Lou Hill, was telling the Rebels to be physical. They don't want to be touched. So the edict coming into this game was to get a body, to be physical with San Diego State. Now, the irony is that you turned it around. San Diego State was actually physical and was able to push UNLV around.
Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get those I guess the biggest difference going from Saturday at Air Force into this one, they couldn't get those three-point looks that, I mean, they were getting basically at will against the Falcons. And, I mean, how many times tonight did we see the head fakes because guys were wanting to shoot it, but then at the last second realize it might not be the best idea in the world.
Boy, yeah, little different athlete between Air Force and San Diego State, right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Big difference. Yeah. We saw it, yeah.
And I was surprised when I saw that UNLV wound up with 23-point attempts tonight. Didn't feel like there were that many. And, I mean, out of those 20, how many would you guess were open looks?
Yeah, wow.
Say what? 7, 8?
Scant few. You know, yeah. I'd love to look at the tape of this game again and just to review finer points and stuff like that.
I'd rather not watch
Me
it.
Me neither. That one goes right in the fireplace. Because of who?
David
Hall.
Yeah. Well, we don't know when the next time he'll pop up is. But to get a little more from this game tonight at the Thomas and Mack Center, here are Alon Krueger and Wink Adams with a few of their thoughts afterwards. Gentlemen, take it away.
Tough ball game. It seemed like we were struggling much of the evening to stay within reach and made a good run there to take a little bit of a lead there. Latter part of the second half, San Diego State played really hard, as our guys did. It was a good battle back and forth both ways, and as the overtime game goes, it obviously comes down to, big plays, big shots, and We had a couple looks, didn't get them. San Diego State did a good job at the line, and big win for them and disappointing for us. I take a look at it as it's coming out of the backcourt. We said, let's attack and see what we got. And had a decent look there from three for Wink, and didn't quite go. And then, we do that every day and talk about not taking the timeout but attacking. We've been streaky throughout the year, and lately we've been shooting ball a little bit better for a better percentage. But tonight, again, San Diego State's a good ball club. They're long and rangy, and I think that that length bothered us on a lot of shots. And I thought we attacked a little bit better in the second half, but still, it was a good ball game, and San Diego State did a good job. Anytime you lose at home in the league, it's going to be a step that you have to overcome. That goes for anyone, and certainly disappointing to to lose in our building. Credit San Diego State. They did a good job of doing what they needed to.
Oh, no, AJ's long, you know, athletic. I think we got a lot of looks, you know, we just didn't knock him down, you know, missed a couple shots at the end, you know, that was real close, and, you know, close game. I think we played pretty good, you know, we just had to get more stops, you know, which we didn't, you know, that's what hurt us. You know, when there was number of time left, you know, during the game, you know, they was kind of calling, you know, pretty much everything, you know, on both ends, you know, it was kind of fair on both ends, you know, it was calling fouls, you know, it just really came down to free throws and, you know, who can get stops. You know, they beat us in that aspect tonight. You know, it's a physical game. You know, two teams, you know, battling for number one, you know, nothing easy. I think, you know, both teams, you know, we played physical and, you know, just like I said, you know, they got more stops than we did. You know, that's how they won the game. Yeah, I think it's good, you know, to play this game. You know, just like I said, you know, I think tonight, you know, this game, you know, we played that was, you know, that physical. You know, tonight we played really physical. You know, I was very impressed, you know, the way my team, you know, how they battled down low, and, you know, Renee was down there getting boards. You know, we got stops. You know, we just didn't execute on the offensive end. So, you know, our defense was definitely there. You know, we was playing physical, getting everything. You know, we had chances to close the game out. You know, we didn't execute them. So that's what hurt us.
All right. Well, let's put a bow on this this pretty little pile of,
on this constrictor
of whistles. Boy, tonight was one of those nights where you don't want to be sitting courtside because the tweet just kept blowing right in our ears.
Yeah, it was and it was tough for Greg Maddux too. They honored him, gave him a jersey at halftime with his number 31 on it, and he told me yesterday on the phone that hey, he just wants to win. He wants UNLV to blow out San Diego State, and he said the same thing at half. Yeah. You know, right on the court. You know, let's go out, let's blow them up by 20, and so. It went extra innings for the baseball player, but, you know, I think he left early, too. He wasn't even there for the extra session. It was our first overtime of the season, and it did not look good, and Kyle Spain had a lot to do with it.
Well, before we move on to New Mexico, I guess one thing, you know, early in the season, the shooting woes were a big concern, and, you know, tonight 19 of 56, like we said, but are we both kind of in the same boat and thinking that this was maybe more a byproduct of San Diego State's defense than just bad shooting on UNLV's part? Because like we said, you know, there are not a lot of open looks out there. Do you think this one was more San Diego State's defense than it was a UNLV offensive struggle?
Yeah, they sure were active. They had a lot of hands. It was tough to dribble in the lane. Wink had a real tough time with getting a handle on the ball, and that can easily lead to some frustrations shooting the ball.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
If you're touching it rarely and all that goes with that. But, you know, what an active game by Spain. He hit the 2 threes in overtime, but also, you know, in between those 2 3-pointers, he picked Oscar Belfield's pocket just between the top of the key and half court. Was going to sail in for a layup, and Oscar stopped that, fouled him. Kyle hits 2 free throws. He had some energy in that overtime period when there might not have been a lot of energy to go around. So you sometimes just got to tip your hat to a pretty good player.
He did that same thing earlier in the game to Oscar too, and it resulted in an open court dunk. And, you know, one thing I noticed was before he did it the first time, he was kind of crouched down in a defensive stance in Oscar's face, and he was smiling at him. And, you know, I noticed that a couple times. Billy White had a couple power dunks where he was running down alongside Joe Darger after the second one, and he was smiling at him. Those guys had a little bit of a swagger to them tonight that maybe UNLV wasn't showing.
Well, and that's been a history of the series, too.
Yeah.
You know, typically, two athletic teams, they like to run. It's usually some exciting ball. Before the game, Billy White gave a nod to Ed O'Bannon, who led UCLA to the title in 1995. Ed, of course, lives in Henderson. He works for Finley Automotive. But while Billy White was at Green Valley High School, Ed tutored him for about a season and a half. And it was good to see, after warm-ups, Billy White come over, spot Ed, and pull him over and say hi and give him a good nod. So whatever you see in Billy White has a little bit to do with Ed O'Bannon.
Yeah. Well, San Diego State obviously will be back in the Thomas and Mack Center for the Mountain West Tournament. We're now halfway through the Mountain West schedule here with the Rebels. Do you see San Diego State as a more viable contender right now than UNLV?
I think there's a lot to be
Yeah.
A lot to be said for the rest of this league. I don't think there's one dominant team. I think there's going to be some more upsets along the way. I think you're going to see this Aztec team stumble a bit, and I think it's going to be probably a crazy second half of the season.
Yeah.
I have no idea which way it's going to end. So
it's hard to imagine anything crazier than the first half.
Yeah, it was pretty bananas. And if say Utah goes to TCU and loses,
yeah,
sounds like it might be a stretch. But what if it isn't? You know, we've had some crazy things happen this first half.
Who expected UNLV to go there and lose?
And yeah. So, you know, you're looking at just such a tight knit between the top mm-hmm. Five, six teams, and who knows what way it could go. All I know is that, you know, once again, we're here with a UNLV team that had better be careful because, let's see, it has shot, 33% tonight, one of its two worst efforts this season. It had five such efforts last season, 33, 29, yeah, 31%.
Range,
really poor. Of the five efforts last season, they won only one of them. A lackluster effort at Colorado State. Anyway, one of those five efforts last season was at the Pit, at New Mexico, and there they go Saturday, back to the Pit. It is, it's going to be the craziest arena they've been in this season.
It's a much tougher place to rebound than coming home and playing a game. So,
absolutely.
And they had a tough enough time with them the first time around.
Yeah.
And hey, look at New Mexico. They are coming around right now. They're 5-3 in the league after slugging Wyoming tonight at home, so they're in that mix too. They got to be considered legitimate here.
Probably a little ticked off from that first go around with the Rebels too. So that's going to be, you know, at the Pit there is there's a tunnel that goes from the locker rooms to the floor, and the angle of that tunnel is so incredible. You'll see it Saturday. The most interesting thing about that is at halftime, when the teams go up to their locker room, you can know by watching the teams who's winning and who's trailing. Because usually the team winning is hustling up and sprinting up that elevated tunnel, and the team that's behind, usually the visitor, isn't going that fast. So that's a telltale sign, and you know it's a place you have to be careful. The people come. There's nothing else to cheer for in town. It's the biggest thing in town. The arena just it throttles. There's no way for the sound to go. It actually is a pit. It's dug into the ground.
Looking forward to seeing this place. Yeah, it's going to be pretty neat.
It's fantastic. There's been some great history in the building, too.
Well, any final comments before we put this one away and hopefully not see Dave Hall for a while? Couldn't have said it better myself. For Rob Misch, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you Saturday from Albuquerque. Take care.